It was almost noon when we came at last to a standing stone near enough the road to be examined. It was the same kind of rock as the plain surface off the road. The sparkle came from metal characters set into the stone. They were characters, that much was clear, but there were none I or anyone else could read. It is immortality of a sort. I jumped. Lady said, "There is great power in this place." No shit. The earth shivered again, no more strongly than the last time, but sufficient to make everyone nervous. These tremors might be harbingers of something worse, though I noted not one of the pillars had been toppled by the vicious quakes of recent years. Croker paid the stone little heed. He kept staring ahead. It was now clear that there was indeed some massive structure beyond the forest of stones. It had begun to look like it might be of Overlook's magnitude. The old man pushed hard all day, not sparing himself. He spelled me with the standard, setting its butt in his stirrup. Eventually he halted in one of the circles that occurred about each 5 miles. He stopped only because Lady insisted that it was time. He wanted to keep going. But the column was strung out for miles now, and the animals needed rest and water worse than did the men. I checked the clouds, wondered if there would be rain, and if we could collect any of it. We'd brought a lot of water, but animals consume a lot, and I had a feeling we would get thirsty a long time before we started getting hungry. The captain shed his helmet and the more cumbersome parts of his armor. He was less intrigued with his Widowmaker avatar than was Lady with hers. She bent the knee to comfort, too, though, divesting herself of her helmet, then shaking out her hair. Croker stared into the distance. He asked, "You make anything of that place?"
"There is great power there."
"There is great power there," Croker grumbled. She's starting to repeat herself. "That Kena side out?" I asked. "Or Kadavar? Or both, or neither?" "I'll tell you when we get there." "Let me hold that for you," Rudy told me, offering to take the standard. He planted its butt and leaned on it. "Where the hell were you the last 50 miles? 50? You're letting your imagination overload your asshole." "Felt like 500 lugging that thing." Rudy chuckled. "Bet you we didn't do 15. He was having fun, at my expense. "Thought you'd be in shape after all those trips over to suck up to the old man." "Rudy, I ain't in the mood for it. I wanted to keep an eye and ear on Lady and the captain, who'd moved away once Rudy intruded." "Don't let me get to you, son. I'm just thinking about what a wonderful night it's going to be." Behind us, the Nguyen Bao had their heads together, contemplating those possibilities. A lot of bamboo was in evidence. Sparkle had a team erecting a community cookfire that would be elevated above the surface of the plain. Lady had an idea the road would not like being burned. She'd suggested, during the hike, that it might be alive in its own way. I wished there was a way to look inside her mind. She'd been focused completely since coming onto the plane. Her speculations would be interesting, and she was sharing them with the old man now. And Rudy was keeping me away. "Hold on there," Croker told Sparkle. "Go ahead and set it up. But don't start a fire. We'll eat cold if we can." Shit. We hadn't eaten well since